Live from Sticky Paw Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's The Big O Show.
Hi, welcome to The Big O Show, and this is Odie Carmona. Today, we are celebrating Women's History Month, March. Yay, women! Title IX. What is Title IX? Well, Title IX was enacted in 1972, and basically it prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in education programs and activities. And that's what led us women, young ladies, in middle schools to be able to start playing sports. Basketball, volleyball, softball, kickball. That's about all the ones I remember. So I was trying to make memory on when did I discover sports? Well, always in elementary school, you had kickball and you played, you know, outside in the yard. But it was in 1974, Allapattah Middle School, where it was the first time I tried out and didn't make it. It was basketball and volleyball, but I did make the dance team. But anyway, so that was the start of how women came about in playing sports. And today, I'm fortunate enough to have two former WNBA players, but also pioneers is the best word I can say in getting the league and playing. And the first one I want to introduce is Adrienne Goodson. Adrienne Goodson I met at a WNBA game last year. She's a former WNBA player, like I said, exceptional rebounding, born and raised in New Jersey, went to Old Dominion. She was an NCAA championship as a freshman, three double NCAA appearances, Sun Belt of the Year player, Kodak All-District, American Basketball League before the WNBA, two-time All-Star, played in the WNBA when they had just started with the Utah Stars. And she was awarded the Community Assistance and WNBA All-Star. Welcome, Adrienne. Now, I have another one over here, which Danny is living in Las Vegas now, so I have her in the studio. And Danny was born and raised in Houston. She's a Baylor graduate. The one thing that I remember that we were talking about, she's got 999 rebounds. She couldn't quite get to that 1,000. She played for the Utah Stars, so that's the connection between Adrienne Goodson and Danny Fontenot. And she played overseas, so she actually saw a lot of the world. She started in Greece, played in China, Israel, and Spain. But the most valuable player of all is she is a mother of two, and that is heads up. So welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for joining me today, Women's History Month and celebrating Title IX. Adrienne, like I said, I met you at the game. And you and I talked right away, and we had a lot of things in common as far as wanting to get women's sports, women camps. And so talk a little bit about your experiences and how you started, because you went in before the WNBA was the WNBA. So how did that go for you?
Well, I mean, that's how it started for a lot of us, actually, you know, before the WNBA. You know, you got to talk to some of those young heads now, you know, to talk about, you know, pre-WNBA stuff. But, you know, what a great conversation for us to have during, you know, Women's History Month and also to discuss Title IX. It's one of a kind to me. And you know, my experience as a young girl, you know, I watched guys play basketball. Those were the players that I tried to mimic on the basketball court, you know, when I was younger. But as I got a little older, then I could watch, you know, the Cheryls and, you know, the Nancy Liebermans and the Ann Donovans and, you know, Lynette Woodards and all those players that broke that we don't talk about at this point in time. But you know, this is a great way to honor our ancestors and to honor women's basketball to have this conversation.
Well, thank you for joining us. And Danny, you're right behind her, more or less.
Yeah, that's my bet. I always give props. I'm like, look, when I came in, I was a rookie. I was there, and the vets of the team was, of course, good. She had called her Goody because that's how I was introduced to her, Adrienne Goodson. And Natalie Williams and Jennifer Azy, they made up the core of that team, including Marie Ferdinand, who was also a young player there. But when I came in, I was a true rookie. It was like my first year. And I was like, dang, these women can ball. Listen. And so I'm just learning so much about her. And so I love that because, you know what? She just mentioned names that I didn't know growing up, you know. And so when you have layers as far as, like she said, the people who pave the way, and you start to really not just, you know, when you really love the game, you study up on it, and you watch the ones who paved the way, the ones that did amazing moves that you've never seen before, and you start to really pay attention to these women that came forward and just had so much talent. And Adrian is definitely one of those people.
Ah, listen to you, Elder. I was watching, and we'll get more into your careers and everything else, but I want to touch on something that, so the other day there was a basketball game, South Carolina and, oh my God, I can't remember.
LSU.
LSU. Thank you, George. Anyway, so the girls got into it. Okay.
Baby got rowdy.
Oh, okay. I have to tell you that, the center, bless her soul, you know, she came out of nowhere. And, you know, she got a lot of heat about jumping in, the shorter girl, this, that, and the other. But, I mean, I'm talking now to two women that are 6 foot tall, and I'm only 5 foot three, okay? If you talk smack on the court, okay, I don't care how tall you are. Even men, and I'm going to put a perfect example, and my husband was telling me that. Oh, my God, what was the guard for Utah Jazz? He was a short dude, assistant. Help me, George.
Stockton.
Okay. Stockton. Yep. So Stockton got into it with, I forgot who, that was the center. Okay. And Stockton was all over him, got so pissed and couldn't, that bit him. Okay. But the big men always come in to defend their guards. So what's the difference between women getting that hyped? And I mean, I don't agree with fighting. Don't take me wrong, okay? I that's just not what you want to do in the sportsmanship you want to show. But unfortunately, there are times that you're so into it and you're so competitive that, yeah, you can't help yourself. So, Adrian, give me your opinion about that.
I mean, for me, I love all the excitement of the game. I want to also understand that people can get, you know, emotional. So that's why you have that such thing as emotional intelligence. But, you know, I enjoy the game, and I like that they get heated, and I like that they bring the excitement, and I like that you see every aspect of the game. You know, with women's basketball, you see every aspect of the game. Now it's getting, you know, it's crunch time, it's playoffs. Everybody's trying to make it to the dance. Everybody's trying to be one of those 64 teams. So I get it. And, you know, if you're a small player, and you want to get in the mix, and that's what happened.
Yeah, it is. Look, let me tell you, Goody said a word that I use a lot, emotional intelligence. And it's amazing that it's hard for people to have emotional intelligence when they are not physically at a height of your energy moving, you know, like playing. Mm-hmm. And like you said, your emotions are all in it. And it can get rough to make smart decisions in a flash when you're so competitive. And I don't think people know, like, women's sports, like, we are competitive, and you're out there and it's physical and you're bumping and you're moving and you're fighting. And yes, it's entertainment. And at the same time, it is a sport that you love and you work hard. And around playoff times, it shifts into something else. Like, it's like this true passion and desire to win. And so I believe that things do get escalated, and they can get heated, and there's some pushing and fighting or things of that nature. What I do realize is that a true character of a person does come when things don't go to suit them. And it's what you do sometimes after the fact, you know? And I love that they were like, you know, it got heated, and there were apologies that happened.
Exactly.
And all of that. And so it's just knowing and boundaries, that, exactly. You know, when to tell yourself, okay, that's enough. But in the moment, sometime it happens.
How can you? You know? Now, Adrian, you played for quite a while, and I'm sure that in your years of competitiveness, you had those same type of, you know, situations. So at that moment, as a rookie and now as an elder, what would you have done differently?
I mean, listen. Women's basketball is on an all-time high right now. Even Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, watching the show the day, said it on his podcast that women's basketball is on an all-time high. and that he knows more women's basketball players' names than he does men's basketball players' names in the NCAA.
Come on.
You know, you go from Caitlin, you know, Logo Kate to Juju, you know, bringing back names such as Lynette Woodard. We can go into Pearl Moore, who was the one who actually has the most points. That was AIAW. So I don't want to get started. We'll go back to Louisa Harris, all of these people that we could talk about. Basketball's on an all-time high. I don't know if I would have reacted differently. I know for a fact, because I'm a big guard, if that little guard came at me, I'm not even joking with you. Women's basketball game is physical, and that's the aspect of the game that people don't understand, people aren't comfortable with. But the more and more women's basketball, you know, is put in your face, the more and more you're going to see those different aspects of the game.
Incredible talent.
And then you also have to take into consideration the personalities of these young ladies, and you have to understand their backgrounds and their upbringing, and they all come from different walks of life, okay? And you know, me, my thing was that I felt like I was too goofy. You know what I'm saying? I'm always going to find a way to laugh. I'm like, oh, that girl pushed me, you know? And it's not that I didn't get mad. I always, like, you know, I've gotten slung around. I was a small post player at, you know, like 6'1", 6'2", around there somewhere. And so, you know, I had to play against Margot Dedek and practice with her. She's 7, you know, 2. And you have to understand that sometimes you do get slung around and you get hit and you get knocked. And even if it's an intentional knock, you know what I'm saying? Some women really respond to intentional physical touches in a different way.
Yeah.
And you just never know how they may react. And a lot of that comes with, you know, learning. And learning yourself, especially if it's never happened before, but how to control your temper and to still be competitive and all of that. And so it does happen.
Immaturity along the way.
And that's why, you know, you give props to coaches that, like, help them through this. And, you know, older players that talk, because at some point in time in your career, you know, there's some stuff that happens, you know, that's not as you would like, you know. You're like, dang, well, if I could have took it back, I wouldn't have did it like that.
It's life, after all. You know, at the time, the same thing applies to women. You know, you have to know who you're playing, who the players are, who you're playing against. So you have to be prepared for that game against that person that you're going to go one-on-one or whatever the case may be.
Yes.
Now, what I really enjoyed watching was Caitlin shooting with Stephen Curry. I thought she almost had him. I was like, oh my God, she's going to beat him. But of course, he came through at the last minute. But I think it really highlighted women, you know, and I think it really highlighted the fact that, you know, I don't know, they had there was an article in the paper somewhere where they said that if they were to recruit Bronny James and Caitlin, that she would be a higher recruit than him. And I'm like, okay, well, come on, you know, let's not get carried away. But the fact is, she can, I mean, like my husband, my hubby has a saying, she wakes up hitting the net already. You know, she gets out of bed and the ball goes in. So and again, why is she there? Because of both of you opening those roads and those trials and tribulations that you experience, opening that up to them and helping them navigate the world. Because right now it's a totally different world with NILs. Adrian, in your days, there was no such thing.
Absolutely. And I can't say I'm not a little bit jealous, on the short.
Look, Goody, can they do some retro? Goody, tell them to spin it back again and come do something and get you paid, Goody. Because, like, Goody, that name right there, that's an NIL deal. Like, come on. We can brand that.
You got Baylor behind you. You did some fantastic things. And you know, I see some athletes out there that really aren't as talented, but they're, because they have a scholarship to get money. And so, you know, these NIL deals are important. And, you know, the schools that have the NIL money are the teams that are going to be successful. Not every team, not every school, not every college, not every university has a huge NIL budget. But those teams that do, those are the ones that are are going to be the teams that are going to be in the championships. Those are the teams that you're going to see in the playoffs because they can afford that caliber of player unless they get somebody by default.
Yeah, that is so correct. It's starting to look like, you know, the NFL or the NBA, you know, the team owner that has more money can buy the big players and buy the championship. Now, also there was, I forgot what men's team is going union. There's a basketball team that, I can't remember the name right now, but they're actually maybe unionizing.
Really? And let me tell you, the NIL space is, it's new. And I feel that a lot of people are trying to navigate it and figure out. And usually when things are new on the front end and it's you got to work through some of the kinks and to see how this thing finally plays out, because I know we call it NIL, but then it's still like sponsorship. You know, the same thing as far as having your name, image and likeness attached to a product or a branding and all of that. And it's funny because my dad, before this was a thing, he always told me my name was the one thing that I had that I was going to carry through life with me, and to be mindful of what I attach to my name. And so I think that the same thing applies now about just, you know, learning who you are. And when you're young, it's you're still evolving and you're trying to learn like who you are and what you are and all this good stuff. And so it is a new space. And I think that there's guidance that's needed through that. And like you said, like stuff I didn't even know that teams are unionizing.
Yeah, I forgot what college team, and I'll have to Google it and let you guys know, but they want to unionize. Mm-hmm. Now, Adrian, I have a couple more questions because, you know, you were all over the place. Now, when you started playing for the, the American Basketball League, okay? How did that work? How many teams? And I'm sure there weren't that many.
Well, I mean, just as many teams as there were in the WNBA. The difference between the two leagues is that the ABL was paying people what they were worth, which eventually ended up bankrupting them because they wanted to pay people what they were worth, and they didn't have the backup sponsors the way that they needed to have them. We had Reebok at the time. We also had BET, who was broadcasting the games on Sundays. We had a health insurance company. I think it was a dental company that had just come out. We had a couple of different, avenues of revenue that were coming in. It was definitely a lot more family-oriented, and it was player-oriented. They took the advice of the players. The CBA, we didn't actually have a CBA set up, but our contracts were set up, and they were really nice. Definitely.
And the CBA, that's the collective bargaining agreement?
Say that again?
I said that's the CBA, is that the collective bargaining agreement?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Thanks for the acronym.
Yeah, it's a setup, yeah. And so, but like I said, the contracts were definitely strong and, set up so that we, you know, we could have a livelihood and not have to go overseas if we didn't want to. So if the league had the money and had the sponsorships, I really don't think that the players would have went over to the WNBA because it was just that much better in comparison, because the WNBA had the salary caps. They were barely paying them. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of disgruntled players at that time. So it was fortunate for them that the ABL folded. And then now you have all of the best players in the world in the league.
In the league.
At that time,
most
of the best players were in the American Basketball League. If you look pound for pound with all of us that came over, from myself to AZ to Yolanda Griffith, Natalie Williams, Teresa Edwards, the list goes on and on. Shirley Sam, everybody was basically in the ABL. So the WNBA, you know, really capitalized on the league folding.
Man, you just learned me something, like for real. Just that knowledge of the background with you being like having a lived experience of that, and just giving some more history and insight to what that was, because I knew of it. You know, I graduated high school in 1998, and I automatically thought once I was done playing college,
you were done.
That Yes, or that I had to go overseas, you know, and I did hear about the ABL, but I didn't really know what that was, you know, being so young. And so then the WNBA came out, and then you just think that, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. You get to play, and it's the name, the NBA, like carrying it behind it, that you think that it's going to be that type of experience. And listening to Goody talk about the ABL, just learning, you know, more
The
about it,
history,
the
I know.
history.
You brought up a good
Yeah,
point
absolutely.
because the women do not make the salaries, of course, like the NBA players do. And that's what forces a lot of the players to go overseas and play. And I understand that, and I get it. You know, it's like a part-time gig. You have a full-time, but then you go on spring break and you need that, or the summer break like a teacher, and you need to go find another gig. In your experience, Adrian, where would you see that maybe our players can stay in the US without having to go abroad and be able to build it more? For instance, in your case, you do a lot of MBA or camps for girls. You do a lot of you know, educational programs. How can you see that fitting in with the WNBA, where these ladies and the retired NBA can work together to make these community programs a standard, something you have to do, something that is needed in the community, but also that is required by the players and the current and retired?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Title IX was a way maker for all of us in sports because it brings about equality. The one thing that I wish and I hope to see for all of us to hope to see is that the league will come together around that very thing that you were just talking about. Okay. We played a lot of ball overseas, and the way that they're set up is in a club situation where you have mini juvenile, then you have like amateur, and then you go pro. So you have this club, and they have all of these kids, and they're running through it, and they're playing all of these teams. So they play on the same team until they eventually become a pro if they decide to stay home, or now they have the option to come to play in the WNBA. In the meantime, there's a lot of honing involved in that, you know, where they're filtering these kids through this program so that they know the plays, they know the system, they understand what it's all about. On the men's side, in the NBA, the NBPA, the National Basketball Players Association, has a top 100 for boys, okay, and they have it every single year, so that all of the coaches know all of the best players that are coming out, and they have this handful of players that they can pick, which are from the United States and also internationally. So that's set up for them. So they're set up to be successful. On the women's side, we don't have that. I've talked to Purvis on numerous occasions about let's set it up so that we have a top 100 for girls. So we have a filter system in which our kids can come through, and then they get then they can get picked. Then they have a better chance of playing home than they do having to go overseas. Now, back up a little bit. I was talking about the CBA. I think that the WNBA CBA is coming up in 2025. Correct me, I stand corrected.
I couldn't
It is.
tell you, so I'll leave that alone.
It is imperative that the players that are sitting on top, the players that are on the player committee, I was on the player committee, advocate for the league, really an advocate for the players, advocate for the retired players. We have to have people on this committee who is going to be an advocate for the future, period. And that involves salaries, that involves 401ks, that involves retirement, that involves just healthcare, which is also a Title IX situation, which we haven't grasped upon in the NBA or the WNBA. On the men's side, there is retired players who have full coverage insurance. On the women's side, that doesn't exist yet. So we have stuff that exists as far as, and there has been movement. Having conversations with Nancy Lieberman, talking to her about, you know, healthcare. We do get breast screening now. So that's an awesome deal.
Okay. That's very good.
That's so important.
I would love the full Clover Bridge health insurance. I would love the retirement. Okay. I'd love to go over to the office in New York and pick up a check.
No kidding. No kidding.
It's because you're Danielle Fontenot.
But no, I agree with everything you're saying. The disparities are still there. Now, the fact that there's a lot of work to do, of course, and hopefully, like you said, you get those players' advocates at the table with the owner saying, look, this is something that is needed. And the other thing I want to touch upon is how to prepare WNBA players to transition now into not being a player and just going into the business world. What do you do with all that talent, all that experience, the world knowledge? Those are all transferable skills, but
it's tough.
How do you know how to transfer those skills into a business or a consulting company or a PR company? Mm-hmm. I feel that a lot of the, and not only just basketball players, let's go every sport, men's sports, they all transition into something.
They do.
And I think a lot of times it's either an owner or someone in the community that just assists them in knowing what to do, where to go, and what to invest in. And I hope to see that in the women's sports. How do we develop all these players like yourself and some that will be retiring? They're not going to be young forever. Transition them into the business world, into the corporate world or educational, nonprofit, however. How do you see that coming along, Danny?
Well, it's and just to real quickly bring that in, what Goody was saying as far as the processes for certain things, and she mentioned a few organizations. Speaking personally from my experience is that, and I've said this before, it's those gaps in between. So like when I was playing ball in middle school, I didn't start playing basketball until the seventh grade. So I didn't know anything about fast tracking myself to playing professionally until, went from middle school to high school basketball, and then from high school basketball to college basketball, and from college basketball to, the WNBA, and the transition of where the game starts to elevate and increase and the talent gets more, competitive and all of that. Let me tell you, I was in it and I had no idea about the process. I didn't know anything about the recruiting process. I didn't know anything about how quickly I was going to leave my senior year and then be into the league. And then after the season ended and then shifting and then going overseas. And I swear I was just this kid from the hood and standing in the middle of Greece, like what?
Culture shock.
What? I didn't speak the language, didn't know of how to just really grasp everything that had happened from the draft and everything in my college career. It's like you're in it and you're trying to navigate it as best you can. And so I really think that I'm thankful that, my dad was very active into what I was doing and I had that guidance. So I think, having a mentor, having your parents be involved in this and having more knowledge about what things are happening as you're making that transition from going to playing collegiate basketball into playing it professional, like as a job, because there's the business of basketball. And I went in just like I was playing college ball. And then it's different because your coach is not just your coach. This is also considered, your boss,
Exactly.
It looks different. It feels different. And so that transition is so important on the front end and on the back end. There's some synergy that needs to happen. And so when you're done, like I didn't get to go to any, what do you have during a year? It's called, job fairs.
Career fairs or anything at school.
We traveled. Basketball season is one of the longest seasons, is it not, Goody? It's like a very long season.
Yeah, it is.
And
other than baseball. Baseball's the longest.
And so you miss some of these things. And then while you're playing, you mentioned like the WNBA season is in like the summertime. And then the overseas season is an 8-month long season. So you're almost playing basketball year round. Your body doesn't really get a break. Your mental doesn't get a break. You're away from family. There's a lot of things. It's a layer type thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so once you start to kind of get into those layers, you're like, whoa, there's a lot. And when you are done, and you're at the age of like, you're like, what am I going to do? A lot of times, like you do, you have those transferable skill sets that are amazing. But is someone working with you to put that on your resume? A lot of people want to know, what experience do you have? And it takes some time to find your lane. There's a lack of business acumen. Acumen that you don't have. I was a first generation to go to college. I was the first in my family to start a business. And I did a lot of knocks along the way, but most of it was self-taught. And so maybe that's why I feel passionate about helping players, especially young ones, start to see the bigger picture. I'm not saying that you're not going to have a long, you know, beautiful, wonderful career, but things happen. Injuries happen. Things change, you know. You know, women, like, you know, if we want to have a family and a baby, it's just
exactly.
You gotta
how do you balance that?
Now,
so, Adrian, I have a question for you, because in your early years, I mean, and I say early, I'm a lot older than you, but still, in your earlier years, you definitely had no training. There was no pathway. You basically created your own pathway or your roadmap on, you know, get out of high school, go into college, and then, wow, I have this opportunity. Was there anyone or any type of assistance, like, for instance, interviewing? Okay. I see athletes interview, and sometimes I can tell the rookie, you know, the first time you got in, I can tell because they're like, not quite. But then you have your seasoned athletes that, man, they can boom, 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 boom. So how was that for you? Because I'm sure that you got a chance to be interviewed and, you know, at the very beginning. And how was that world from where you came from that, and then you stepped into that next level?
Yeah, absolutely. I was fortunate enough to go to a school in Old Dominion University that had a fantastic communication program. And I also was surrounded by some great coaches and some great people who had already lived that life before me, like Wendy Larry and Marianne Stanley and Ann Donovan and Nancy Lieberman, and, you know, all these people that had already stepped onto the stage before I did. And prior to me being nominated for Kodak All-American, they put me through a whole bunch of classes. I would have to, they would give me skits. And I want to say shout out to Debbie Byrne right now for that. And she would give me skits. And then I would sit there in front of the camera to get rid of that camera shy. And skits and, you know, and then, you know, the magic question is, why should you be considered an All-American? And then I had to come up with that. And, you know, I answered it. And, you know, there was a lot of takes involved in that. But I had some people around me that were grooming me. And that was fortunate because the situation with everybody, if I had waited until the etiquette classes that I received, the WNBA, if I had waited until, you know, the different things, you know, all of these, you know, the interviewing skills and stuff like that, that they gave us, if I had waited until 1999, that would have been a bad scene.
Ooh, Goody, you said some amazing stuff right there, especially the word grooming. And how important grooming is. And we went through an etiquette class for the WNBA, and it was one class, and we didn't have anything else. And as you know, as an athlete and as a player, that you must practice. Repetition is a thing, right? And so it's not just a one and done. And that is an athlete, and especially if you are a forever athlete, you know that there's so much work done on the front end. And if you're seeing the teams right now and here and their conditioning and what they're doing, it's because you know they put in work in preseason. And so it's the same thing with having that training. So I actually had media training at Baylor. I was in communications because, you know, my aunt used to always tell me, like, girl, you need a mic in your hand. And that's because I just love to talk. But it was training. And I did that in corporate settings, too. Mm-hmm. I've had multiple trainings as far as with media because, Goody, you know, like now with social media, like I didn't have Facebook wasn't even a thing when I was in college. And so you could say certain stuff, you could say things, and maybe people weren't going to see it. Now everybody has a camera phone. Everybody has social media. As soon as you say something, it lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will go back and find things that you have said and try to bring it forward. And that could be a positive and a negative depending upon how you spin the script or the narrative.
Right.
So that training is so important, how you answer tough questions, how you answer, how you address people, and to know that you can tell people no comment. Oh, I don't have a thought on that at this moment.
Gee,
you
know? I can't think of anything right now. I know. I couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine having to be under that microscope the whole time, especially watching nowadays, watching everything you say.
It's so important and it's so vital to have that training. And I'm glad that Goody mentioned that someone talked to her and showed her and gave her practice. And I did practice runs as well, like with the camera, with the mic, and ask you some off the wall questions or some things that kind of catch you off guard. Look at people who maybe had some interviews that maybe came back to hunt them later. You know?
Yeah.
But to show up authentically as yourself and not be embarrassed about that, you know, and who you are. You don't have to become some other thing to represent yourself. And I always say this Lauryn Hill line, like, respect is just the minimum. And if you can have a level of respect for yourself, typically leading into that, it really helps on the back end, the way that you answer questions, and it's your posturing and your position and the way you think about yourself.
Definitely. You have to have that training regardless in anything you do in life. Because at the end of the day, what you are is selling a product, and that is you.
It's you. That's you're the product. Brand. Absolutely.
And you're the brand. You're the one that they're going to look at and see. Adrian, any last words for Women's History Month? I know that you have named so many incredible players. I'll have to look them all up. But the fact that you played with them, I know that is a highlight of your life and your career. Any messages you have out there for all the young women that are playing, and what would you tell them?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, big up to, you know, the miseducation of Lauryn Hill. I got to say big up to that for the respect. You know, I got to put it on there. Praise God for social media on the positive side, because it exposed, all right, the NCAA, all right, for its lack of ability to provide for the women the things that they needed, you know, as far as the weight room was concerned, that big whole thing that broke out, mm-hmm. you know, differences between, you know, how we receive things and how the men receive things. And so praise God for social media, because it has shed light on a lot of things that mm-hmm. wouldn't have come to light if we hadn't had it there. But for any of the kids that are out there right now, I can tell you, you're sitting around and you're watching Juju. All right, out there at USC, you're sitting and you're watching Logo Kate out there, in Iowa. Okay. And then there's another underrated player at Syracuse, and her name is DeAsia Fair. And like, she has like 3,000 and something points, and probably at the rate that she's going right now, and depending on how far Syracuse goes, she can end up knocking Kelsey Plum out of second place. Wow. And so basketball's on an anti-high right now.
Yes.
Not really making a whole lot of comments like I usually do, taking a little break from social media, but I'm in the back seeing like basketball's on an all-time high. And for all of those names that I mentioned, I can promise you, it's going to be more than the 12,000 hours that you have to put in order to be great. These people are putting in hours. Stop sitting back, watching these highlight tapes, and get out there in the gym. Understand why you're making the move. Why are you going by that player and then pulling it back to where you left them? Because you're watching highlight tapes and you don't understand how you're making the move. So bottom line is this. If there's anything, get in the gym and work out with somebody who is a viable trainer, not somebody who has all of the bells and whistles, because a lot of people can go out and buy equipment and they got all of the bells and whistles. You know, I'm coming in the gym with a ratty T-shirt, some nice shorts, and a fresh pair.
Look, because we ain't coming in there to be cute, Goody. We got work to do.
Work to do.
Okay, Adrian.
How many clients that I have probably lost to the bells and whistles, and then they end up coming back around. So no, stay with the bells and whistles.
Okay, so since we are in Las Vegas, anywhere can be bet, but who would you say, give me the for your pick, the final four in women's NCAA? I'm going to write those down and look at the odds.
All right. Well, I could definitely say that South Carolina is going to be in there.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Without a doubt, without a problem. I'm going to throw LSU in there.
True.
Without a problem. I'm going to throw Iowa in there.
Iowa, yeah, yeah. And who else? Who's your last pick?
Last one, it's not going to be UConn because I don't think that they're I don't think that they're that strong. But you can come back to me on the 4th after you talk to Danielle.
Oh, dang. I was hoping this question was going to miss me. Listen.
So you, did you say your 4th pick was?
I got.
She's on the fence with it.
You're on the fence? Okay, we'll put a question mark on that one.
Yeah.
All right, Danny, now you're up.
Don't. I'm horrible at this, and I am. It's because I just am.
I would say I agree with you on South Carolina, LSU, Iowa, because, I mean, if she gets hot, she could just score 100 points on her knees.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
All right.
Oh, here comes George.
She didn't know that South Carolina.
25 here. I pulled up the AP top 25. Pick somebody from the West Coast. You got USC or Stanford?
Stanford.
And UCLA.
No help. Can't get none. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Throw somebody out there.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. All right. Well.
So, like, it's in the cards.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. We'll hook
team. I apologize. My last team is Stanford.
Okay. Stanford. Hey.
I got you.
All right. Yep. We're going to leave you with a question mark.
Yeah. Listen, I like that list though, because I do. And for several reasons and stuff, you know, but and then you just got a taste of it with the South Carolina and LSU matchup. You know what I'm saying? They gave them a preview of some things and just how competitive that this year, this time around, baby, I think it's anything. That's the thing about the big dance. It's like,
how exciting, huh?
It's so exciting. And then you think you have it. And let me tell you how people brackets get a shakeup at some point throughout this whole process. And it gets interesting, especially for someone that you may be considering an underdog. Because I remember going in as an underdog and, you know, to this tournament. But it is amazing. And you're going to see some great teams. But I think what Goody has right here with South Carolina, LSU,
that's a parlay right there.
And Stanford. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a quick story about underdogs.
I can tell you Texas going to have something to say about it.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Oh, USC, I know they are.
Southern Cal with Juju going to be in there. That girl already broke the freshman record.
Listen.
That's why I keep telling people, leave Logo Kate alone and let
not her. Not Logo Kate. Yes.
Bottom line is this. She's dredged up names from the past, like Lynette Woodard, okay? She's dragged up names like Louisa Harris. She's dragged up names, you know, Cheryl Miller. She's brought all of these players back into the forefront, which is where they should have been all along.
Definitely.
You know, for a moment, because what Juju is going to do is going to be something that maybe nobody might get for a longer period of time.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I love that this young lady, I do not know her, but of course we are hearing her name. We was hearing her name before she even signed, right? Because she's that type of player. But what I do like is when I see her interview and I like the way she engages with her team. And I like the way that she gives credit where credit is due. And it's a lot to come in and be that player, the premier player. Because there's a lot you have to take emotionally.
Oh, definitely. And a lot of criticism you're taking also.
A lot of criticism.
Because there's haters out there regardless.
It's some haters. And you're going to feel it. And you have to be able to be emotionally well-balanced to deal with that. Because it's not that you don't deal with things. And if someone has that great of a God-given talent, please believe that she is putting in work.
Exactly. Nothing comes for free.
Not one thing.
All right. Well, Adrian and Danny, thank you so much for celebrating Women's History Month, talking about Title IX, definitely giving out the pointers.
We're going to get the skin secrets later, right? Because Goody, I'm like, girl, come on out.
Your complexion, I know.
Baby.
Come on.
Don't tell them when you played. I was trying to add up them years. I said, I know you lying. Not with that skin that's glowing on the screen.
I promise I tell you, my mother was always a fan of Ivory soap. I don't know. Hey. Got to keep it old school.
You got that right. Grandma, God bless her soul. Mama, Ivory soap or Dove, one of the two. Anyways, thank you, Adrian. We will be catching up with you closer to the championship, and we'll see how well these four teams are doing, and we'll talk more. And also, again, we'll be talking about that basketball camp. There's going to be a lot more news coming about how we are going to do the Just Hoops girls basketball camp in Las Vegas, so stay tuned for that. Danny, as always, it's a pleasure to have you and talk to you. And thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Always, always. All right. This is the Big O. Thank you. Bye-bye.